Radio.
All right, we're back.
Radio.
So I'm just waiting for Mike to get his link back in. Just got cut off real quick, so that sucks. So we're going to have two separate streams today, but that's okay. So while I'm waiting for Mike's co-host invitation to come through, I'm going to go ahead and go to a commercial, and then when we come back, we're going to talk bold predictions. Coming up next.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Hey, football fans, looking for an alternative to your boring NFL pregame show? Try the NFL Standard right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Alan Slaughterzinski, Brian Yates, and John Ames deliver the best in fantasy news, notes, and information from around the world of the National Football League. The guys will get you set for all of the big games in the day with their game previews, as well as injury updates and all of the news and notes from around the world of the National Football League. Once again, if you're looking for the best in NFL game day coverage, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. with Alan, John, and Brian on the NFL Standard.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Oh, yeah, we're back. It's a show in two parts this week. There'll be two separate links, it looks like, going up. That, of course, is Sub Rosa by the Beastie Boys. I don't know if you knew how eclectic the Beastie Boys were, Mike.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good. That's like your weekly Beastie Boys fix. I don't know if you haven't noticed, I'm a huge Beastie Boys fan. I love them to death. I think they're fantastic. That one in particular, it's the guy. Here's the thing about them. I mean, a lot of people, if you're a casual person who just looks at the Beastie Boys as this weird rap group from the 80s who like to fight for their right to party, I mean, there is certainly that element to them, but they are very accomplished musicians. That was all them playing. Mike D is a drummer. Adam Yauch was the late Adam Yauch, MCA, was a bass player, and Adam Horowitz, the King Ad Rock, on guitar on that track. Sub Rosa, really awesome instrumental track, man. So next week maybe I'll get into some smooth jazz for you. It'll be great.
All right. Man.
Yeah. So we got about 10 minutes. About 10 minutes till Randy Inman joins us, so we're excited for that. Randy Inman of PantherLair.sportsblog.com is going to come on. He's going to help us break down our game of the week, which is Philadelphia Eagles at the undefeated Carolina Panthers, fresh off a win in Seattle. Man, oh, man, could be good. Could be good. Certainly if the Eagles team that showed up against the Giants on Monday night shows up against Carolina, I think they'll get smashed, in all honesty. How bad has Bradford looked?
You know, when they made the trade, for the swap of Foles for Bradford, and the Eagles had to sort of throw in draft picks on top of Foles to get Sam Bradford, I was baffled. I don't know how anybody thought it would be a good move. Bradford's hurt every year now. You know, I guess he was one of those guys that because he was hurt and you never got to actually see him play, you had this idea that if he ever got to play a full season, maybe he'd actually be good.
No, well, I was watching the game on Monday at work. Cause, okay, so out here in Hawaii, the games go off about 2:30. Okay, so it's I'm still at work when these weekday games are going on. And I'm watching the game with some people at work. And the one guy says, man, he's little. And I thought to myself, you know, he looks small. He looks small, and he never used to look small. You know what I mean? But I guess, you know, that's maybe it's – I mean, especially in the lower body, he looks small. So maybe he's atrophied a little bit over the couple of years that he basically missed due to consecutive ACL tears. Good job. I mean, let's give up our serviceable starter and a draft pick for some guy who, you know, has had two ACL surgeries. Seems like a good idea. And how much are the Philadelphia Eagles thankful that Bradford didn't take the extension that they offered him over the summer?
Well, they put themselves in a tough spot where I really think they had Nick Foles, who's a guy you could maybe build a future around, maybe, to a guy you definitely can't build a future around, and it seems like a bad move.
But I certainly understand. Like, Chip Kelly saying, Nick Foles doesn't really fit my offense. I believe that. He doesn't fit the offense, but that doesn't mean you got to trade a guy who's pretty good for a guy who is in. And I don't know that Sam Bradford a running quarterback? I mean, nobody thinks that Sam Bradford's going to run the ball, do they?
No, I don't know how Sam Bradford fits their offense any better than Nick Foles. Like, if he runs the ball, he might die.
Right. I heard a thing yesterday on some other radio show where they're talking about Bradford, and I didn't realize this. He is on pace to break the record for most red zone interceptions in a single season. He's got 4 already, and all of those came in the end zone. It's crazy.
Well, so if they could have made the same move where they traded Foles and picks and got Cam Newton, that'd have been
right.
Awesome.
Or Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
You're not getting Cam Newton, but you might get Colin Kaepernick.
Well, so also in that game, we talked about Carolina and their NFC East. I know that, you know, we talked about Philadelphia and the NFC East. And Philadelphia is a team that every year gets a lot of talk, and then at the end of the year, they're not there. So, you know,
right.
Carolina, on the other hand, they're 5-0 right now. And Carolina still isn't really getting the respect because you hear people say, well, they haven't beaten anybody. And then they play Seattle, and it's like, well, Seattle's not that good anyway. And
yeah.
What does that really mean? And it's like, you know what? When you beat all of the mediocre teams, you're not a mediocre team. That makes
That's
a good team.
It does.
And so they're good. The question now is, are they great?
How good?
Are they Super Bowl contenders? And the NFC, because Seattle's down, looks wide open. Seattle's not going to get home playoff games. Even if they make it to the playoffs,
they're not playing at home. They're on the road.
And
Seattle
fears me.
Yeah, Seattle looks like they're down. They're not what they were. Green Bay, in all honesty, as good as they've looked and they're undefeated, they haven't looked like without Jordy Nelson, there's definitely something missing on that offense. You know what I mean? I wouldn't, when it gets cold, I don't know that they're going to be able to, and it's certainly Eddie Lacy can't run the ball. And James Starks is a little better, but he's not that much better. So, I'm not scared of Green Bay. With Dallas, you know, Dallas is going to have to – they got to win a couple games here or they're not going to make the playoffs either. They got to win a couple games without Romo or they're not going to make the playoffs. If it comes back and they're 2-7, yeah, no way.
Well, we both agree that Dallas – if Dallas gets healthy at the right time moving forward at the end of the season, that Dallas is a team that I don't think anybody wants a part of. But they're in the same boat as Seattle, and they're not going to get home playoff games either. They might get
I don't know that Dallas needs home playoff games, in all honesty, if you know what I mean. I don't know that that's what they need. Because they're a team that's proven that they can win on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, they won eight road games. I think they've won something like 11 of their last 12 road games. And they lost last time they went on the road to New Orleans, but, man, they should have won that game too. So there's that. And that was with Brandon Weed.
In general, in the NFL, there's never a perfect team. So you're looking at because of the salary cap implications and stuff like that, you just can't put together a perfect roster. And then injuries,
right.
you know, take away what you do well a lot of times. So you go, who's the least flawed? And
right.
frankly, well, Carolina, it looks like it might be Carolina because
– We'll get into more of the Carolina in a minute with Randy.
Yep.
So we'll talk a little bit more about him. So,
yep.
You got any bold predictions this week?
New England wins by 20.
Wow, really? Okay. All right. I mean, here's the thing. They're going up against the number one defense, right?
Yep.
Number one defense. Okay. I just want to set it up for you. Number one defense in the NFL, they're going to win by 20. Tell me why.
Because every time New England ends up in one of these games where you go, okay, this is the premier matchup of the week, and these two teams are both really good, and this team's going to challenge New England by doing this, that, and the other thing, and there's a good chance they win. New England immediately comes out. They're up 21-0 in the first quarter, and you go, why the hell did we think this team would beat New England?
That's true.
It's just, I mean, I watch all the games, and it happens every year. They run into the other juggernaut team, and it's Dallas, or it's Denver, it's Indy. It's been the Jets in the past with Rex Ryan. And then, you know, by halftime, you're looking at it going, damn, we thought this team could contend with New England. I guess we were wrong. Now, you know, I remember specifically one year the Jets were a team that people thought could play with New England, and New England beat them 45-3 in the regular
yep.
season.
Yep.
In that same year, the Jets came into Foxborough and beat them in the playoffs. But in the regular season matchup, New England won 45-3. And last year when New England came up against Indy, and it was Indy's the team to beat, New England trounced Indy, and Jonas Gray had 200 yards and four touchdowns. And this just happens with them almost every year. So
yeah.
The 9.5 is a sucker line. You know how that line where you look at it and you go,
yep.
wow.
Oh, I'll take the Jets.
Best defense in the league, and you're going to give them 9.5 points? Like, of course I'll take that. Uh-huh. Watch this.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think if there's one thing that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick love, it's crushing the souls of the New York Jets and their fans.
The rest of the teams in their division in general. You know, Buffalo is going to be really good this year. Well, guess what? Buffalo had a great game against Indy. They had all their fans hyped that this was Buffalo's year, like Buffalo fans get every year for the last 15 years. And then they
Buffalo stinks. Oh, I can't believe I bought Buffalo. I bought Buffalo, and
yep.
they stink.
They do this to you every year. I can't imagine being a Buffalo.
Oh, hey, they're within 9, 27, or 11, 27-16, 12 minutes to go in the fourth. Here's the comeback.
They're just setting their fans up for failure again.
All right, my bold prediction is Kraken's going to have that's Greg Hardy. He's going to have 4 sacks of Eli today. So we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Randy Edmond. He's going to talk to us about Philadelphia and Carolina. We'll be back right after this on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Hey, NFL fans, be sure to join Alan Slaughterzinski, Brian Yates, and John Ames every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the NFL Standard. Every Sunday morning at 10 Eastern, Alan, John, and Brian will bring you up-to-the-minute fantasy football news and notes, injury reports, as well as all of the news from around the National Football League. Again, every Sunday morning at 10 right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. It's the NFL Standard, a can't-miss for every NFL fan.
Attention sports fans! FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com. to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Demon Football here on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. We are joined now by Randy Inman of PantherLair.sportsblog.com. Randy, was that hype music enough for you?
Yes, sir.
Randy, thanks for coming on with us today. We're going to do a little Philadelphia Eagles and Carolina Panthers. We do have a game going on in London right now. Did LeSean McCoy just fumble on the one?
Yeah, Pan got hurt. And Jacksonville recovered.
Oh, my goodness. How awful is that? All right, we're not going to talk about that dog of a game. Let's talk about a really good game. Philadelphia Eagles at 3-3 and number 3 in ESPN's Power Football Index. Yikes. Somehow. Going up against Carolina at 5-0, coming off a huge win in Seattle last week. What are your thoughts on this game, Randy?
Well, I think it's going to be a pretty good game. And the Panthers owe the Eagles one, so they're not going to be let down after beating Seattle.
For sure. For sure they owe the Eagles one. Cam Newton was impressive last week against the Seattle defense. Well, I think there's a good indication that they're not what they were last year or the year before. They're still a pretty good defense, and he brought the Panthers back late against them. What a final drive that he had with the touchdown to Greg Olsen, but really good look for the Panthers, a really big win. Talk about Cam Newton and how he might be able to exploit the Philadelphia defense.
Well, the thing with Cam this year is he's finally had all the lights come on, so to speak. He's really reading defenses better. He's playing with less urgency where he doesn't feel that he has to force a play. So he's really matured as a quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I think it looks like the game slowed down for him a lot. And here's the thing. He lost his best receiver, Kelvin Benjamin, in the preseason. And still, I don't think it's really bothered him that much. I think you see him trying to force things a little bit less. He, you know, kind of recognizes when it's time to run and when it's time not to run. So I like how that progression is going. Mike, what do you got for Randy?
Well, I'll say this. It looks like he's really created a great rapport with Greg Olsen.
Yeah, this is season 2 of that, though. I mean, he did that last year, too. Those two, I think, might be the biggest acquisition for the Panthers over the last 3 or 4 years is bringing Greg Olsen in from the Bears. I don't know how the Bears let this guy get away. Talk about Greg Olsen and what he's meant to the Panthers, especially this year, but also over the last couple of years, Randy.
Well, Greg Olsen is the most stable target. They know he's going to be there every week unless the team got really good safeties and can take him out of the game. He's very good finding the holes in his own, and he's consistent, and that's what the Panthers need right now because they've got speed on the outside, but it's inconsistent speed. So Olsen is the man in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, you've got, what, Philly Brown and Devin Funchess and a couple of Jericho Cotchery's there. But, again, like you said, not guys who are going to really inspire fear in a defense's heart other than possibly Greg Olsen. Because, like I said, Greg Olsen, he's been a good tight end in this league for quite a while. And I think it was a big pickup for them, and I think it's really going to pay dividends for them. I'll let you know that I picked Carolina to win this division. Mike took the Falcons. I took Carolina. We both look like we're pretty smart guys right now. I think I picked them to win at 9-7. I think you were somewhere in that same range. I certainly did not think Carolina was going to sit here at 5-0. I'm a little bit surprised by it, especially considering, Jonathan Stewart's a good running back, not a great running back, but I think their running game all starts with Cam. But I think it's really, really been their defense, even though they haven't had Luke Kuechly for a couple of games this year. I think their defense is definitely what's doing it for them. Agree or disagree, Randy?
Oh, they're a defensive team. That's what they want to be, and that's what they are. It all starts with the defense. Thomas Davis and A.J. Klein, when he was filling in for Luke Kuechly, he's had a pretty good season. They just don't have the outside pass rush that they've been wanting to have and what they've had in the past.
Right. Well, they lost Greg Hardy in free agency. I mean, they let him walk. I mean, they didn't want anything to do with that anymore, and it's certainly understandable. It's a kind of a circus with Hardy around. But they haven't been able to replace that, but it's going to be difficult to do that. So, but they've got some decent D tackles and stuff like that. Mike, what else you got?
Well, the thing that is typically the sign of a really good team in the NFL, and what you can many times you can just point to it, the one stat that determines wins and losses is turnovers. And Carolina's just not turning the ball over. They've got 3 games they've turned it over once, 1 game they didn't turn it over at all, And last week against Seattle, they had two. So they got five turnovers on the season in five games. And if you can keep your turnover numbers down, you win a lot of games by not giving the other team points. You look at the game we're watching right now, and what's the story of the game? It's been an even game, except Jacksonville got two free ones. That's the story of the game. And so if Cam Newton can continue to make good decisions, they're not putting the ball on the ground, you got to look Carolina's chances going forward if they can keep that up.
Well, that's their whole thing. That's what they want to do. They want to control the time of possession. They want to stop the run and force turnovers on defense, shorten the field for the offense. That's how they win games.
Yeah, and I think that's to Mike's point, I think it shows the maturity, the maturation of Cam Newton. As he's protecting the ball. He's not giving it away. He's never been like a turnover machine, but he's thrown it away a few times, as a lot of young quarterbacks will. I think this is the year you're really seeing Cam come into his own as an NFL quarterback. Certainly he's got all the physical talent in the world, but he's now starting to marry that with the mental side of the game, and it's really fun to watch. He's an exciting football player to watch when he's on top of his game, so that's really awesome stuff. Talk about Philadelphia's defense. They got three sacks on Eli Manning last week in the New York game. Obviously, Carolina's offensive line's played pretty well this year. You expect obviously Cam's a bit different guy to bring down than Eli Manning. Do you expect Philadelphia to get anything going as far as a pass rush against Carolina, or do you think Cam's legs will get him out of trouble?
I hope Cam's legs get him out of trouble, but they sure put him down a lot last year. But that's last year.
Yeah,
the offensive line's been playing more consistent this year. They've been together for a while with the addition of Michael Orr, who turned out better than we had ever dreamed so far anyway. And I think consistency and the guys playing next to each other in numerous games is what helps the offensive line.
Totally agree. I think a lot of the problems that they had in the past was inconsistency. Michael Orr, like you said, was a big pickup, obviously years and years in Baltimore, but then he went to Tennessee last year, didn't work out very well, and then somehow they were able to get him away from there and bring him in, and he's kind of had a bit of a renaissance. Michael Orr can be a really good player, for the Panthers going forward. They'll have a good shot at going far as the playoffs go, because if they can run the ball and play defense, you can win on the road, you can win at home, it doesn't matter where you're playing. So good job there. All right, let's go on. We're going to go on to our pick six segment, and we're going to get to that game. It'll be the last game that we do, but we're going to pick our six games. Mike and I kind of gave you a bit of a preview of what we're going to pick, but we'll get where Randy's picks too. Cleveland at Seattle. Randy, what do you like this week?
I believe I'm going to have to go with Seattle.
I'm sorry, St. Louis, I'm sorry. Cleveland at St. Louis.
It threw me off too. I'm gonna go with St. Louis. I thought I'd write it down wrong. Yeah, I'm thinking St. Louis.
Taking the Rams. Mike, did you say you got the Rams?
Yeah, I can't see a way that Cleveland's not gonna slow Todd Gurley down in this game if history of their defense against running backs is to be believed. So I just like a huge game for Gurley and Cleveland's inability to get St. Louis off the field, and I think St. Louis controls time of possession and wins the game through that method.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I'm going to pick St. Louis too, but I would feel a lot better about that if I knew who in the world St. Louis was. They're just – I don't know who they are. Are they that team that, looks good against good teams, or the team that looks bad against bad teams? Because if they do that, Cleveland's certainly capable of beating them because Cleveland can score points – despite themselves, apparently. But I'm going to go ahead and pick St. Louis anyway. On the road, I don't love Cleveland on the road. It is what it is. Houston at Miami. Randy, Texans or Dolphins?
I'm going to take the Dolphins on that one. I think they got rid of the coach they wanted to get rid of, and they're going to play a little harder now.
Mike?
I agree with him. I think Miami, before the season, we thought, they have all the talent in the world, and I think the week Link was the coach, and certainly Dan Campbell looks like he's a motivator, and you want to play well for a guy that size. So I like Miami in this game, too. I think they look like a different team last week, and if they can continue that trend, I like them going forward. I will say this. If this game was played in Houston, I might just take Houston. But Miami's got the home field advantage, and I think that's enough to carry them against another sort of middling team.
Yeah, I like the way that Miami played last week. They were against Tennessee. Tennessee's a team that doesn't have the same level of talent that Miami has, so they did what they're supposed to do. They beat them 38-10. Dan Campbell looks like he's got the attitude adjustment that he wanted to get when he came in. These guys are really looking like they looked a little more inspired last week. It was crazy. Dan Campbell is a fiery guy. He looks like he could still play. I like how it's going. I'm going to pick Miami as well. This is a weird slate of games. It's just a lot of games that just don't look like, you know, they're too close. New York Jets at the New England Patriots. The number one defense against the number two offense. Randy Inman, who you got?
I like that Jets defense, but I just can't go against Brady when he's on one of his revenge tours.
that's pretty much a smart pick. We talk about that around here as being a smart pick. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I already told you how I feel about this game, but a couple of points about it. We're not picking against the spread, and you don't pick against New England at home without the spread. You just take New England because it's an easy pick. And when you're talking Vegas, you don't pick a team that's if the team's favored by 9.5, you just pick them, who's going to win this game. That being said, even if I had to pick with the spread, I would still take New England because I just think they're going to trounce.
Right. I mean, and you said that. I'm not picking the Jets. I am not picking the Jets. That's not going to happen. I'm going to pick the Patriots for a lot of reasons you said. So we'll go forward from there. Pittsburgh at Kansas City, Randy.
That game's a little difficult to consider. I think I'm going to go with Pittsburgh because the Chiefs might be done, but they used to play so well at home, it's hard to pick against them there.
Yep, Mike, what do you got?
I actually agree. I think Pittsburgh is really good, and they are every year. So it shouldn't be said with the level of surprise that I just said it, I guess. I think Mike Tomlin's a great coach. I've said this to you before. If I didn't have Bill Belichick coaching my team, Tomlin's my next favorite coach in the league. I'd run through a wall for him. And I think Landry Jones might be the quarterback they need to get the offense going. I think they have those weapons on the edges, and Landry Jones has the arm to maybe take advantage of that. So I like Pittsburgh here too.
Yeah. I'm going to agree. I'll tell you this. They lost Ben Roethlisberger, and the schedule's been pretty favorable for the four or five games that he's missed. The games he's missed already, the one he's gonna. I mean, they got Baltimore. Baltimore's just not very good this year. This week Kansas City. Kansas City is just not very good, and they lost their best player. I just don't see any way that Kansas City go ahead and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, even at home. I just think there's way too much. I don't think you've got, especially now you have Martavis Bryant back, you've got Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, you can spell him with D'Angelo Williams. Their offensive line is good enough. Their defense is good enough. I just don't see any way that Kansas City wins this game. So Pittsburgh, my pick. Dallas at the New York Giants, Randy.
I'm going with Dallas. I think their defense is going to swarm Eli, especially Greg Hardy, because he is very fierce pass rusher, and he's trying to get paid next year, so he's going to be as good as he can be.
Agreed. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I'm taking the Giants. First of all, I knew you'd take Dallas, so unless you get a game up on you. I hate the Giants. I can't stand Eli Manning. But that being said, Eli Manning makes a lot of money because he's a reasonably good quarterback, and Tony Romo's not playing. Everything starts with the quarterback. The game's in New York. I like the Giants slightly more than I like the Cowboys in this spot. I really don't like either team right now. But if I got to pick one, give me the Giants at home with their starting quarterback.
Well, I understand the reasons you're saying. I'm going to pick the Cowboys, and here's why. I think their defense is going to get to – I think a little bit. But I think I really honestly think the defense is going to be able to do a lot of the same things that Philadelphia did – get pressure with four guys, get to Eli Manning, put him down. I've already said that I think that Hardy's going to have four sacks today. That's my bold prediction. And when you do that to Eli, he starts to give you the ball. He will give you the ball. Okay?
Yep.
So I think that's going to – because that's the thing with Eli. He can be very good when he's got time. You start putting pressure on him, he throws the ball to the other team. He gives the gall to the other team. He'll fumble. He leads the league in turnovers since he came into the league in 2003. Leads the league in turnovers. He is a turnover machine when you get pressure on him. So that's the Cowboys' recipe for success. I think they're going to do it on the defensive side of the ball. Dallas wins. All right, last game, the big game. Hey, Philadelphia at Carolina. Randy, who do you have?
Well, this is going to shock you, but I'm picking the Panthers.
What?
The Eagles beat them 45-21 last year. The Panthers are a very good team when they feel like they have some revenge on the plate. They're kind of chippy. They like to push people around a little bit, and I think they're going to take the Eagles tonight at home.
All right, Mike.
I want to make one quick point about the Giants. You mentioned Eli Manning leads the league in turnovers since he came into the league. Eli Manning's also never missed a start. So he has played literally every week in his career. So he's had more opportunities to turn the ball
over. So he's available to make turnovers every week. Guys, did 21 interceptions one year. Don't make excuses for him. All right, go ahead.
He's an interception machine. But that being said, so back to this game. I'm really high on Carolina. Until Carolina chooses to prove me wrong, I would pick Carolina every week unless they play like New England or maybe Green Bay on the road. I'm going to pick Carolina in every matchup, basically. I think they're really good.
Yeah, Randy, in your assessment of the game, you said Carolina is very good when they have something. I think you just stop it. Carolina is really good. They're a really good football team. If I don't think a lot of us were on them early before the season started. But if you weren't, man, get on Carolina because this team's going to go to the playoffs. This team's going to host a playoff game. This team could host multiple playoff games. The road to the Super Bowl could end up going through Carolina. They're that good. Their schedule's that favorable. I like Carolina in this game. I like Carolina going forward in most games, just like Mike said. So give me the Carolina Panthers all day, every day.
The other thing is, if you're gonna have to pick a position that you're a little thin at, receiver's a really good position to be a little thin at.
Especially with a guy like Cam Newton back there who's got a threat to run and who is a legitimate threat to – I don't want to tackle that guy, you know what I mean, because he's 260 and he'll truck me. There's that. And, again, like you said, good quarterbacks make receivers better, and I think Cam Newton's starting to get into that really good quarterback conversation. I think he's one of the probably one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league for sure now, and I think he's kind of making a case that maybe he's one of the top 10. I like him a lot. Randy, I want to thank you for coming on with us. One more thing. The Philadelphia defense got some things going against Eli last week. Don't expect that today against Carolina. That's my other point on the game. Sorry. All right, Randy. Thank you so much. Why don't you let the people know where they can find your stuff. Randy's an excellent writer. Writes a lot about sports, not just the Panthers. But go ahead, Randy.
You can find my site at pantherlayer.sportsblog.com and hit me up on Twitter at NFLPanthersSB.
All right, and also at Randy Inman as well, because Randy's a really great guy, really prolific writer, and he's available, as his Twitter profile says. You can hire me to write for your blog.
That's true.
That is true. I will write for pay. Okay. Thanks, Randy, for coming on, and good luck tonight with the Panthers, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
All right, the great Randy Inman, folks. Really, really good stuff from Randy. He's a very knowledgeable guy about the Panthers. He lives and breathes Panthers, obviously. So there you go. What else you got, Mike? Let's check in on the Bills game. Let me click over to that real quick. Still 27-16, 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. As we a nice shot of the Thames there. That was really nice. That's a city I'd like to go to.
I feel like Jacksonville in the second half has just gone into turtle mode of don't lose the game, and it's been pretty successful. Like, they essentially said, I don't think that E.J. Manuel can score enough points in the second half to beat us, even if we don't do anything else. So they've basically been, like, run on the first two downs, throw on third down. If they don't make it, they've punted, and they've been running.
Yeah, play defense. E.J. just got sacked again. Oh, my gosh.
His speed must be like 5 seconds ahead, but I really enjoy the fact that I know he's going to get sacked on this play. Boy, that was a bad one.
Oh, it's really bad. It's really bad. Like, he walks into this. I'm looking at the replay now. First of all, the D-tackle got him, and he got him good. Oh, he popped him right in the face. That's bad. All right, we don't want to do play-by-play. But... All right, dropping back to pass again, 2nd and 16. He goes deep down the sideline. He's got a man open. He's going to score. It's a touchdown, folks. It's a touchdown. This is a game now. Mike, it's a game.
You're 5 seconds ahead of me. I enjoyed the it's a sack play a lot more than it's a touchdown play.
Who is that? Easley? I easily don't know who that is. Marcus Easley, is that his name?
Wow.
That's a nice ball, yeah?
That was too easy, yeah. All right.
That's if you saw that touchdown pass that he just threw, that is why E.J. Manuel got picked in the first round of the draft. That ball
right,
there.
Have you learned anything in the last 15 years, or are you excited and think the Bills might win this game? I'm curious.
Well, here we go. Are they going for two? They're going for two. Going for two. Yeah. Mike, you got to switch over to NFL.com. NFL.com's got it 5 seconds ahead of yours.
So here's what's going to happen. They're going to make it when they go for two. And
yeah.
That's going to get you excited because now they're only going to be down three. And you're
right.
Going to go, oh, my God, the Bills could win.
And they're going to get the ball back down three with, like, a minute 20 to go and maybe two timeouts. That's pass interference. There it is. They're going to get another shot at it. You can't. Well, and this is the thing I love about defensive backs. You'll see the play. And he's sitting there like, I can't believe you just called that on me. He literally just shoved the guy to the ground when the ball was in the air.
Every flag in a pocket anywhere hit the field there.
Oh, it's amazing. I think a guy in the stands threw a flag. Oh, Eli should have been down there. But look at this. He's like, how'd you call that? Because you pushed him to the ground when the ball was in the air.
That was awesome.
I love
Tom, it was a good show today, even though we had some technical difficulties.
Yeah, I mean, we got 7 minutes left to talk if you want to just sit here and break down this game.
I'm hoping my bold prediction comes out right this week. That's my main thing for this week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, of course. I mean, for the New York Jets, here's the thing. This is a huge game for the Jets, okay? Now, I don't expect them to beat the Patriots, and I know that you don't expect them to beat the Patriots either, okay? But if they do beat the Patriots, and they're 5-1, and they're legit first place in the division with a game in hand over the Patriots, that's huge for them.
And
you really have to start paying attention to them as a legitimate threat to win that division and to go deep into the playoffs, I think. Because if you can go to New England at any time of the year, I don't care what it is, and beat the Patriots in their house, especially as motivated as they've been this year, you've got to like your chances. Again, I don't expect that to happen. I also don't expect Mike's bold prediction to come true, but hey, whatever. Things happen.
I follow teams that aren't like the Patriots in every other sport that I follow. And
yep.
The one thing is the Patriots, you know, having been a fan of them my whole life, and for the last 15 years, you've come to expect them to win big games, and you just don't bet against them, and especially
right.
at home, and especially against their divisional opponents. I mean, they're like
yep.
20-5 against the Jets in the last 13 years. I mean,
they're better than that against the Bills.
Yeah, they don't lose to these guys, and when they get in these big regular season games, they win them, and they usually win them going away, and, you know, it's just, I've come to expect it, and they've not let me down very often, so.
And that's the thing, they know exactly how big this game is for them. They know the importance of this game. It gives them, if they win this game, it gives them a 2-game advantage in the division.
Well, I was just going to say that. You went
yeah.
into how important it is for the Jets, but at the same time, the Jets are the only team in this division that can challenge the Patriots. If they get ahead of them by 2 games, they've essentially put the division away 6 weeks into the season, and now you're talking about playing the rest of the season for home field advantage in the playoffs. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Apparently, while we were on the air talking, just to go back to this Bills-Jags game, apparently at some point the kicker for the Jaguars missed a chip-shot field goal.
Oh, yeah.
That would have put them up by 14. Crazy.
So my other bold prediction this week was going to, and I don't know how bold this one is either, was that Phillip Rivers is going to have another 400-yard passing game. I didn't get to it because we only did one.
Right.
Last week, Phillip Rivers threw for 500 yards. just
crazy.
Like he gets Oakland. And I think he goes back-to-back with 400-plus yard passing games. Their running game's also not good. And, you know, the best running back's probably Danny Woodhead, who's better catching it out of the backfield than he is running it. So most of their weapons speak to them wanting to have that kind of attack.
I have one league that I'm in on NFL.com, and in that league I have to start Danny Woodhead because of buys this week.
Okay.
Well, because of buys, and I don't want to start Joseph Randall. So I have Danny Woodhead against Oakland. He is projected in that league for 20 points this week.
It must be PPR?
No, it is not.
Wow.
That's what I said. I don't think there's any way he lives up to it, but he's projected for 20 points this week against the Raiders. But I can see that. I don't think that the Raiders are particularly good covering scat backs out of the backfield.
No, their defense is pretty bad.
And as far as pass-catching running backs go, Danny Woodhead is about as good as they get. He was really good when he was with the Patriots, and Phillip Rivers is not that much of a downgrade from Tom Brady, in all honesty. The guy's really good.
Yep.
Despite all the stuff that he takes. Yeah, he's very good.
Oh, my God, Jacksonville, come on.
Yep, false start.
Oh, is that
pretty bad. Yeah, it was a false start. Doesn't matter. Oh. I mean, you lose 5 yards, but you don't lose the down.
Yeah, it's better than what could have happened. Better than what I thought it was. Like the missnapped ball and sack.
Yep. For sure. So I'm excited. Listen, about my game, the Giants-Cowboys game, Lyle Collins gets the start. We didn't talk about that. That's a big thing for this game that's coming up today. Lyle Collins gets the start at left guard. He was the kid that was projected as a top 10 pick. Oh, no. And it's going to go. Oh, my God, it's going to go. He's going to score. Unbelievable, dude. I told you that it was coming back. I told you they were coming back. So, number 20 for the Bills just picked off Blake Bortles, returned it for a touchdown. It is now 30-27 Buffalo with the extra point coming. But there's a flag on the play. Let's see what the flag is. Could be probably in the return. I don't see. It's a late flag.
This is your Buffalo Bills getting their fans hyped to eventually break their hearts.
Well, I'll tell you what. A lot of people have said, woke up early for this game, and God bless them. I hope they get the win.
You were talking about the Cowboys game. I think the Cowboys' route to victory is that they can make the Giants one-dimensional, because I don't think the Giants can run on. And if they can make the Giants one-dimensional and get Eli Manning dropping back on, you know, 80 or 90% of his downs as the game goes on, then they can really get after him. And so it makes your Greg Hardy prediction look really good.
And Beckham's not what he's not 100% healthy. He's not. It's just his hamstrings hurting him. All right, we got 60 seconds, Mike. So we are going to let this go. Tune on into the Bills and the Jags. It is 31-27 with 5.5 to go in London. Make sure you follow Mike on Twitter, at Mastrolio123, especially if you want retweets of Noon's Magician. Because that's good stuff. It's really a funny site. They do really good stuff on Twitter. Also, follow me at DuckManForReal. Read all my stuff at FantasySportsWarehouse.com. Also, Cover32.com/Cowboys. Follow the show at AssignmentFBall. Mike, what's your last thought?
Go Patriots.
Go Patriots is a good thought today, I think. And with that, my love to Sue and the girls. We're excited to see you 25 weeks. And Mike will be sitting right here with me in the beautiful island of Hawaii. Thanks, folks, for joining us.
Return tickets in this time.
Okay, cool.